Kia ora, good to see you again. Buenos dias, ¿cómo estás? Muy emocionado. I'm excited to preach. Always love to preach. Yeah, kia te hari koa, yeah, hari koa aho. I'm happy, excited. Hey, let's get into a little bit of sermon. Before I get into kind of preaching, I just want to say, man, how are you doing? Hey, this is a pretty crazy time in the history of Aotearoa. In the history of New Zealand, and I've just talked to a lot of people this week from church and in the community, and been really surprised how anxious and worried and concerned people are. I really want you to know that we care about you here at church. If you're part of our church, please be touching base with us. If you're part of our church, you've got my contact details. Feel free to get hold of me. If you're not part of our church and you're watching this, man, so excited that you have joined us. You can go to our church website, cbc.net.nz, and there's contact information on there. And we'd love to just journey with you on this crazy time. So if you need anything done, we'd love to try and figure out a way to help you. I know we're on lockdown, but there's things we can do. If you need groceries picked up, if you've got medication you're worried about, please touch base with us, because we really do care about you. So this is a key time for community, right? So please, if you're worried, if you're concerned, anxious, you don't need to do this alone. We care about you. We love you. If you just like someone to pray with you, get hold of us. If you'd be like, man, if someone could just ring me each day and check in on how I'm doing, we'd love to do that. We've got heaps of folks that would love to just journey with you, text you each day, whatever. Hey, please be in touch with us. We, yeah, care about you. So arahanui, much love to you, eh? Cool. Hey, this morning we're looking at the fifth marker in our maturity series. And just remember again, this is not about ticking boxes, right? So this is not about, yes, if I do each of these, if I read my Bible, tick, if I serve people, tick, you know, yes, I'm so spiritual. Oh, it's not that at all, right? These are just like indicators, or like we're calling them markers of maturity. How do I know if I'm actually growing to become more like Jesus, right? How do I know if I'm becoming more like the God that I read in the Bible? Sometimes it can be a bit vaporous. And so the idea is, as we go through these, we can be just looking at them and go, yeah, am I becoming more desirous for community? Am I becoming more desirous for service? Am I becoming more desirous to read my Bible? Yeah, these things, not tick, but is that desire happening in me? And remember, one of the big things we've talked about this whole year is this whole crazy fruit thing, right? So remember that whole phrase, love well, fruit well? It's our job to love God well and to understand that He loves us like crazy. And so my main thing is to dig into my relationship with God, to connect with God through the Word, through worship, through prayer, through just sitting in quietness and listening, all this. And as I connect with God, as I connect with Jesus, then His power, who He is, flows through me and out pops these markers of maturity, right? That's how it works. Whatever I plug myself into will always come out of me. If I plug myself into some bad stuff, that's going to come out of me. But if I plug myself into God, if I connect with God, if I connect with Jesus, that will naturally, they will dwell within me. They will change who I am. The community around me, my whānau, my family, my friends, will be impacted by God working through me. Does that make sense? Remember the silly illustration I said a few weeks ago that Rob was saying, where you never walk out in your garden and hear a tree in the garden going, you know, trying to, fruit popping out. It doesn't work like that. What does the tree do? The tree just grows its roots down right into good soil and nourishes itself and draws up, and then photosynthesis? I guess trees do photosynthesis. I guess the point of the leaves? I don't know. Anyway, they draw it up, and as they just do what comes naturally, the fruit pops out, and that's our thing. We invest ourselves in God. We connect with God. We connect with Jesus, and out pops fruit. Love, joy, patience, peace, all this stuff, right? So that's kind of what we're talking about. So the one we're talking about today is generosity, right? Joyful generosity. And as Dave said a couple of weeks ago, who only Jesus could have led us to be preaching about community right before a lockdown, and then humble service as the lockdown was beginning, and then now generosity. And it's kind of crazy. And man, right now the world needs us to be, needs you to be as generous as you can be, because people are freaking out, people are anxious, people are sick, people are sheltering and they're afraid. And for us to be able to be generous, for you to be able to bless them in a generous way, just changes lives, right? Hey, so let me kind of illustrate this idea of generosity as we get into it. So this is a silly illustration, and I know some of you are going to hear this and be like, who is this guy? What a weird pastor. So I play this game online, which I love, and I've been playing it for, I think, about 2 years now. And one of the crazy things about the game is it's a clan game, so you're in clans, you know, like a lot of these games. And the game's cool. I enjoy the game, but I enjoy my clan more, right? And so you can chat in the game, but we have a different app, a line app that we use where we chat, and people chat in there just all the time, all day, and it's just really cool. And someone will, you know, oh, my mum's sick, and everyone's like, oh, you know, and caring, and I'll be like, oh, doing a little prayer for you and stuff. It's really cool, and the community is what I love. So some of the clan members said they were gonna they're all over the world, said they would watch this morning. So kia ora, Connecticut Formation, if you're watching it, good to kind of see you there, eh? Hopefully, Rose, you got your smoke machine going, that'd be awesome. The thing I love about this game though is the generosity that you see in the game, and it always blows me away. So the way the game works is you run around and kill monsters and stuff, and you get gold ore and like rocks and food, and then you use this to build up troops and your castle and all this other crazy stuff, right? And it's quite precious. Gold's especially precious. Food, and everyone has tons of food. It's pretty precious. But the thing I love is someone in the clan goes, hey everyone, I'm going to upgrade my town hall, my barracks or whatever. Could anyone send me ore? And then in the game, when everyone shares ore or resources, there's these little dudes with very skinny legs and giant backpacks. It's just ridiculous. And you see them going, meow. And honestly, just about every time someone asks, everyone's just sending ore, even though the resources are precious to them, because they care about the community. And you see these little crazy backpack guys zipping around. And then people are always saying, oh man, clan, you guys are amazing. Thanks for your generosity. I know it's a game, right? And again, I know some of you are like, who is this guy that plays these crazy online games? But I love them, so judge away. But what does it look like to be generous in real life? What would it look like if you were like my clan? And when anyone called out to you, you were already sending little backpack guys to them with, what do they need? Love, peace, groceries, a ride to the airport or whatever it is, right? What would that look like in your life? How would your life change? How would my life change if we were as generous in real life as we are in my crazy little clan game? And I think the bigger question is, what does it look like? What needs to happen in me? What needs to be happening within me to cause this generosity to just naturally want to flow out of me, right? Because most of us are pretty selfish people, to be honest. We're pretty selfish, and so to live a life of generosity is a bit of a weird thing, right? Hey, I've got two little points this morning. I'm going to zoom through these because they're pretty simple to understand. Here's the first one. The first one is generosity is who God is, right? Generosity is who God is. So if you're watching this with some friends or some whānau, maybe turn to someone right now and just say, generosity is who God is, eh? So turn to someone and say that real quick. Awesome. So here's a little illustration of God's generosity around creation. So just kind of pause for a second and think, what is the most beautiful scene that you've ever seen? The most beautiful scenery that you've ever seen? Maybe it was in the mountains and it was snowing and you were just like, oh my goodness, my mind is going to explode. This is so beautiful. Maybe you're in the bush somewhere, in a forest somewhere, maybe on a beach and the sun was coming up, or the sun was setting and you were sitting on your deck and just looking out and going, wow, this is just, this planet is beautiful, right? The crazy thing to think of is that God could have made the entire planet brown if he wanted to, and he could have made all of it flat. So the whole country, the whole planet could look like a perfectly flat round ball looking like Kansas or Morrinsville, right? Totally flat, right? But God didn't. Why? Because he loves to be generous in his creativity. If you think about it, he could have done that. We could have survived. It'd be totally fine. We don't have to have hills. We don't have to have beautiful scenery, mountains, bush, beaches. We don't have to have that. But God did that because he's generous and he loves us. God created you as a beautiful, incredible, intelligent, amazing human being. The things that you can do are just phenomenal. You are incredible. Why did God do that? Because he's generous, because he loves you, because he's creative, right? Hey, if you've got a Bible or a device or whatever, jump over to Psalm 95. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in here that talk about creation, and I love what it says in here. So Psalm 95, I'm just going to read verses 3 to 5. It says, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. And then the question is, why? Why is he a great king? What's he done that's so great, right? And then the next verses say, he holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. I just love this. It's really clear saying that God is the one who created this, designed this, right? Why so beautiful? Because he's real generous. Because he's real generous. Another one that's a kind of a classic one, I think, to think about is food, right? Again, God could have created all food to be brown, but still nutritious, and all food could taste like Brussels sprouts, right? Overcooked Brussels sprouts, hell, that is the worst thing. Maybe overcooked broad beans. Have you ever had broad beans? Well, I grew up having to eat broad beans, and they were just the most hideous things ever, right? God could have created all food to taste like overcooked broad beans that have been left in a pot for like 20 minutes to boil, and you'd stab it with your fork, and it's just bouncing off, and you're like, bleh. But it's still nutritious. God could have done that, right? But he didn't. He created bananas and pineapples and pawpaw. And then he led us to create Indian food. Oh my goodness, I just love Indian food. He led us to create Thai. Everyone loves it when you finally find a cool Thai restaurant in your neighborhood. You're just like, thank you, Jesus. Let's go there every night. But you can't because you're not rich enough. And he led us to create KFC. Glorious. Unhealthy, terrible KFC, right? You get what I'm saying, though, right? God is generous in whatever he does. And the core of his being, he's generous. But one of the big things I want you to get in this point is that not only is God generous with what he gives, but he goes even further than that, and he gives of himself, which is another whole kind of ball of wax, right? Another whole kettle of fish. To me, this takes generosity to a whole new level. If you think about it like this, it's easy for God to give us of his resources, of his stuff, right? But when he gives of himself, that's a whole different aspect to generosity. I think the best verse that explains this is John 3:16, which I'm sure heaps of you know off by heart, right? I love this. So let me read John 3:16 and 17. It says, for this is how God loved the world. How did he love it, right? That's kind of what I've been talking about. God's a loving, generous God. How did he love the world? He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. He's not here to judge. I think some people think God's this judging, watching, what are you doing, judge, Jesus. That's not how God is. But to save the world through him. And I love that. Hey, God came to give us eternal life. Remember, eternal life means a fulfilled life, a vibrant life, an exciting life. I think so many people go through life with a, yeah, life's all good. It's okay. And I'm like, you're missing out. It's because you don't understand that God cares about you, wants to be a part of your life and guide you and all this good stuff. He came to give us eternal life, vibrant life, exciting life. So journey with me here. This is a little bit deeper here. God is divine. Okay, so God is the alls, or we say omnis, right? So he's all present. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's independent. He's eternal. He's outside time. He's love, right? He's all these massive concepts, right? So because he's these things, for God to give us of his resources takes no energy for God. No energy for God. It's not like God, when he created the world, he was like, woo. Oh, there's a harbour of creating right there. I just need a couple of days off here, you know. And when you read in Genesis 1 and 2, and it talks about, you know, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day it rested. The word rest, it doesn't mean like he rested because he was like exhausted, and he's like, angels, bring me coffee and bagels. I'm worn out from creating. It doesn't mean that at all. It means he steps back to enjoy and to reflect and to just revel in the beauty of what he's created and crazy humans running around. That's what it means, right? So for God to give us of his resources doesn't really cost him, or doesn't cost him anything. Not doesn't really cost him, it doesn't cost him anything. Because his resources are limitless. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, right? So for God to communicate to us that he really is generous, to God to communicate to us that he really loves us and cares about us, he then sacrifices himself on the cross. And then we look at that and we go, whoa, that makes sense. Because that cost you something, God. That cost you something. Are you getting that, eh? This verse explains it really clearly. So 1 John 4, verse 9 says this real clearly, right? God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. It's similar to that John 3:16 one, but it's a little bit different. God showed how much he loved us, or God proved how much he loved us. Even though we see his generosity and his love and all the creation, humans, beautiful scenes, all this stuff, KFC, even though we see his generosity in that, until we understand that he actually sacrifices himself, a part of the Trinity. Remember, God's a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one being, three persons, right? And that one being then sacrifices himself in our place to bring us into a relationship with him. And when we understand that, we go, now I get the generosity of God. True generosity is not just giving what I have, it's giving who I am, right? It's giving who I am. How do I give who I am to the people around me? Resources, money, all that, it's cool. It's a great way to bless people. They see you're generous. How do I give of myself, right? Let me kind of summarize it a little bit, and then we'll move to the second point. God would have been completely just and totally right to only give us his power and resources. He'd be fine to do that, right? That would make sense. He could have given us this world, food, humans, all this good stuff, beautiful humans, and said, well, good luck with that, guys. I'll catch you kind of at the end of time or whatever. But he doesn't, because he knows we stuff it up. We stuff it up. We stuff up the planet. We stuff up our lives. We mess up just everything. So he doesn't. So he engages with us through the Holy Spirit, through Wairua Tapu. He engages with us through sending Jesus to save us, to model life for us, right? He would have been right to do this. He could have just created it all and been like, catch you later. But he doesn't, because he's so generous and loving, right? He gives of himself. His generosity is extreme. His generosity is extreme. Hey, so my first point was God is incredibly generous to us, right? And here's the second point. It's pretty simple. We must reflect God's generosity. Kind of obvious. We must reflect God's generosity. So turn to someone. If you've got no one with you, just turn and say, we must reflect God's generosity. So remember, like I said at the beginning, we connect with God. We connect with Jesus. And then as we connect with him, who he is, his attributes, his essence then comes through, and we are changed and we impact the people around us, right? God hasn't blessed us with great food, with great planet, with a great relationship with him, just to sit on the couch eating chips and watching Netflix. Although that's a cool way to spend an afternoon, just a side point. God hasn't blessed you and called you to just leave you to do nothing. He's created you and he's called you and he's blessed you to bless others, right? To be super generous, to reflect his generosity. There's a cool verse I want to read from 1 Timothy 6. And when I read this, don't think, oh, he's bagging on rich people. I'm not at all, right? I'm not going to use this verse to even challenge rich people. I'm going to use it to challenge all of us. So let me read this. It says, this is 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 18. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. And we go, yeah, duh. Everyone knows someone who had heaps of wealth and then everything hit the fan and then they've got no wealth, right? Money, possessions, not reliable. He says, their trust should be in God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. I love that, eh? He gives us all we need for our enjoyment. God loves us to enjoy. Remember when Jesus was on earth? Jesus was always, he was totally the party guy. Every other page in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you turn it and Jesus is off to another party and creating wine. He's just hanging out with people and having a great time. God loves fun. He loves enjoyment, right? Verse 18 says, tell them to use their money to do good. This is the key part. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. So that's the key part to me, right? Rich in good works, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Every one of us is rich in different ways, right? No matter who you are, no matter where you are watching this video, you are rich. God has blessed you with incredible gifts and abilities and talents and ways that he will talk to you as I keep talking in the next couple of minutes. He'll guide you on this to help you see what you're rich in and what you can be using in this crazy lockdown time and a scared planet. How you can use what he's given you to bless others. Maybe you're rich in encouragement. Maybe God has made you someone who is so encouraging. You just have this crazy gift. You can phone someone and talk to them 2 minutes and change their entire day. You'd send someone a text and they're like, man, how are you going to use your richness of encouragement, this gift of encouragement, to bless others during this time? You need to think about that. We need to think about that. We want to reflect the generosity of God. Some of you have more time at the moment. Some of you have more time at the moment because you're not able to work and you're stuck at home. You've got less commute, so maybe you're at home because you're working from home. I don't know, but a lot of us have more time at the moment. How am I going to use my time to be generous to those around me? Maybe it's just the people that I'm living with. Maybe I need to be thinking more about my attitude. How am I going to be generous to them? But how the people around me, what can I be doing to bless and love the folks in my community, in my area, in my life? What is that? God will guide you, eh? Maybe humor. Maybe you're really funny. How could you use that to lift people's spirits? Maybe you do have money. How could you use that to care for some of the people around you who are really struggling right now? Unemployment is just going through the roof in all the world, but Aotearoa, terrifying. How could you use what God has given you, the richness that you have, to bless others? I don't know who you are watching this, so I can't read your mind and be like, God is saying this is what you should do. I don't know. But you need to take some time to listen to God and say, okay, God, what have you blessed me with? What am I rich in? How can I use that to be generous to those around me? God's not surprised by this virus. God's not surprised by this lockdown. God is not surprised by your emotions, your fear, your worry, your excitement. I don't know, wherever you are at the moment. God's not surprised by that. He loves you so much, it is ridiculous. He desires to be part of everything that you're going through. He wants to support you, encourage you, bless you, guide you, empower you through this time. He does, because he loves you, right? He does have a great and beautiful purpose for this current situation. But the crazy part to me is that so often God blesses people, not directly, but through using other people. And the crazy thing to me in this is that there are people in your circle of life that desperately need whatever God has given you in riches in, to bless them and to be generous to them. So you have now an incredible amount of power. At the end of this video, you can be like, ah, that was great, bit of church, tick the box, thanks for coming, and wander off. Or you can go, okay, hang on. God wants to use me to bless the people in my circle. What is that? What's God given me? What am I rich in? How can I use this to bless others, right? How can I use this to reflect the generosity of God? Let me finish with this cool quote from C.S. Lewis. How good is C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis, this is real funny. I love this. He says, do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you'll presently come to love them. I love that, eh? I love the beginning. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Just act as if you did. Don't spend too much time thinking about this. You need to act. God will guide you. Call out to him. What am I rich in? What can I do? How can I bless my neighbors? Hey, let's just close with a little benediction, right? This is a little prayer from Romans 15:13. I love this. Paul wrote Romans, right? So like 2,000 years ago, but this is so relevant to us. It's crazy. This is what he wrote. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's my little prayer for you this week. My little prayer for you is that you will know, because you trust in him, you will know God's peace, his joy, and his hope. Arahanui, ka kite anō.